It's time for a tech nostalgic retrorama. Whoa, that's technospective.
Chuck Chat Technorama for Sunday, May 15th, 2005.
This show is a proud member of the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Hey, welcome to Chuck Chat Technorama for Sunday, May 15th, 2005. It is still the 15th, right? I think Craig and I have done. I'm Chuck Tomasi. Back up. We're having too much fun here. Chuck Tomasi with my trusty sidekick companion, Craig Steph. Welcome.
Holy internet. Holy internet's Batman.
Wow. We're coming in a bit hot on that microphone, so we'll just dive that down a bit. We've got this desk wired 17 ways from Sunday with two mixers, three computers, two microphones, two headphones, and a Craig Stepp in a pair
and
of
a whole, and a whole internet between us.
I think I know why it's coming in so hot. Just a sec.
Okay.
There. I turn it up so I can hear, but whatever I hear, so does the listener. And if it's loud in my ears, it's loud in theirs.
That's right.
Craig, how you been?
I've been fantastic. How have you been?
Well, except for running to Radio Shack every 5 minutes to get a patch cord or a Y adapter, I'm pretty good.
What a way to spend your weekend.
Weekend? It's been like this since I dreamt this contraption up. I actually had it wired. I tested this out on Kevin Devon yesterday, and I couldn't turn down the music without losing him. So it was my fault was that I only had two computers doing this operation. Now I've got three.
Yeah, I've always had that problem. I need more computers.
More power! Scotty, I need more power.
I get you, and I can't, Captain. I can't get you no more.
Are we going to talk about anything on this show today?
Nah.
Well, if you want to get in contact with me, we'll start with the basics. I know how to do this part. If you want to get in touch with me, Chuck at ChuckChat.com, or Craig is...
at KeyboardMonkey@gmail.com.
I love that.
I've still got 2 gigs of empty space, so somebody send me something.
And if anybody wants a Gmail invite, hoo-hoo, we got a lot of them left.
Yeah, I got 50.
Everybody's got 50. You can give 50 away. Tomorrow you'll have 50 more.
That's right.
Why they do that, it seems pointless. It's still in beta.
Yeah, everything they got still has beta written beside it.
Hey, we've got some reader feedback.
Uh-oh.
We have reader email from Charles Stell. It says, hi, Chuck, from another Chuck. I know I should have emailed you sooner. It seems work is getting in the way. Your podcasts are very enjoyable. Yep, both of them. Happy to see you're doing the tech cast. It's interesting to hear about what's going on. I quit my job in electronics, mostly hardware, to work for my wife about 5 years ago. We make templates for quilters. Now, he says, doesn't that sound very high? That doesn't sound very high tech, does it? But actually it is. Listen, I do drawing in Corel Draw, and we have 4 lasers to do raster and vector engraving and vector cutting. This is getting better. You know, you don't think quilting is that. You know, you think of the grannies at the toilet paper factory.
Hey, I didn't say that.
Most of our work is in 10mm mylar and 3mm acrylic. We do custom work and occasional odd jobs, such as engraving on anodized aluminum or making mylar circuit board insulators. And then he gives a URL, www.brandysquiltpatterns.com. Then it really starts to take a tech twist. Now, see if you can... Okay, go ahead.
Okay, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
See if you can keep up with this, Craig. Some years back, I wrote system test code in C++ on Unix, Xenix, and DOS for a telecom company in Fort Worth, Texas. Your interview on the TechCast brought back memories. Once I wrote a program to calculate the phase and magnitude response of Salinke audio filters for up to 10 poles. He's losing me already.
I'm with you. What are you talking about? Go ahead.
It plotted the responses on the printer, dot matrix, and calculated the S-pole locations and gave resistor values for the given values of capacitance for each pole. Not too bad. a small recursive special purpose calculator on an Atari 800 in BASIC. With 48K of RAM ripping along at 1 megahertz, it ran 27 hours.
Okay, you know what I got out of that?
Yeah.
I got Dot Matrix and Atari.
It says even my old Palm 3XE would have been much faster. I think that was in 1982. Anyway, say hi to the girls and keep up the good work. From Charles Stell in the sticks of Arkansas. Thanks, Charles. I love the tech talk. That was great.
That is pretty cool. Actually, you know, I have worked for some people that had a cutter to do vinyl lettering for signs.
Yeah.
So I know that can get pretty deep. And I also know a guy that had a machine that cut wood for cabinetry, where you just plot it all and send it all to the big cutter.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And the most impressive thing I've worked for was a company, or did, you know, service work for, was they made machines that milled out metal parts, like for GM and stuff like that. They made the machines that did that. And that was cool to see a block of metal turn into, like, a piece of a transmission. Now, that was cool.
That is cool. I love watching those milling machines. And, like, you watch American Chopper or something, they take a rim and they get the billet cut.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty slick how they can just...
It is slick.
...draw a design and have it come out on those machines.
Yeah.
You got to wonder how much of that milky fluid they go through, though.
I don't know. Well, it kind of gets filtered and recycled, I think.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, they filter it and get the metal or whatever out, and it goes back through.
Oh, okay.
So,
like it would just be an inordinate amount of
fluid
just pouring on this stuff to keep it from getting hot.
Nah.
Hey, we've got an announcement to make. For our tech podcasters. Actually, for anybody wishing to be a podcaster or even just mildly interested, Todd Cochran from Geek News Central has come out with the world's first book on podcasting.
Yeah, how's that for an announcement? That's awesome.
That was cool. Friday he made the announcement. It hit the presses. It will be available in early June, I believe, at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and those kind of things. There's a link on the Chuck Chat webpage. Psst, go to Chuck Chat and click on the link.
Do it or die.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and you're listening to Chuck Chat.
Hey, we got Leo sweepers now.
Yeah.
Wait, we got to do the other one. Hold on. I'm bragging at this point.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and whenever I'm in podcast land, I listen to Chuck Chat.
How often do you think that is?
Once a year.
I should note that I'm just plugging my other show now. For those of you who don't listen to the Freestyle Show, this week I will be segmenting up an interview I did with Leo. So if you're a Leo fan, pick up the other feed or listen, you know, the way you usually do by clicking on links and whatnot. But that was fun. He's a good guy. What do you?
Yes, he is.
Craig got a sneak preview of the interview, so.
Yeah, it's definitely good. Go check it out. Go download the Freestyle. And you'll like it. It really shows that Leo's just a regular guy.
I'm trying to queue up the next thing.
Oh,
here we go. Where is it?
Chuck Chat Technorama. There's nothing worse than a geek with a sense of humor.
We've got too many buttons. I need three hands for this job now. This is pathetic. I was actually looking for the one about the news from the tech sector. Oh, I think I found it. This is just... forget it. Let's just jump into it.
Yeah.
What have you got? You start.
Well, you know... I actually want to share a little story with you. You know, I've got a 3-year-old son, and you know, whenever you have kids, you kind of envision that one day they'll thank you or, you know, say something to you that really, you know, pulls at your heartstrings and, you know, brings a tear to your eye or whatever. And, you know, and the other day my son said, "Daddy, I've got to tell you something." And I was like, "Yeah, sure, son. What is it?" He said, "I want to go see Star Wars with you." I was like, it's touching. A geek stream come true.
A real following there.
That's my boy.
That's right. Unfortunately, I can't take him to this one, but I wish I could.
Why can't you?
Well, you know, it got like a PG-13 rating. The violence is pretty up there, so I don't know. I'm going to have to fake it somehow, but I think he'll see through it.
It'll be on DVD soon.
Oh, yeah.
Christmas.
Yeah. And he'll be a little older then. I don't know. You know, it got a PG-13. The violence is high, so I know some of the kids that, you know, watch the earlier two, they won't be able to check this one out right away, so that kind of stinks. But I have my Wednesday night midnight tickets. I'm ready to go.
What, you're not standing in line already?
Yeah. Actually, I am. You know, wireless internet, yeah, you know. Yeah. You never know.
Podcasting from the sidewalk outside the theater.
But yes, I am ready.
Hey, news article.
Yep.
This one caught me. There's a, it's called BIG, Broadband in Gas. Have you seen this one? They're an article about how they're using the...
Does it involve Taco Bell?
No.
Okay.
they're using your gas pipelines. You know, kind of like they were saying you can do broadband over electrical.
Yeah, actually, that kind of scares me.
What, the electrical lines?
Well, actually, you know, yeah, that does a little bit too, but, you know, thinking of. Yeah, well, both of them. I mean, well, the gas line just seems kind of funny, you know, because, you know, gas explodes. And I guess they got to have some kind of. I don't know how that works. Well, Ken, maybe you can fill me in.
Well, I didn't get a chance to read all the way through the article, but what I did read is it said, what was it, like 100? No, it actually said unlimited bandwidth. I'm not sure how that works, because eventually you're going to have some, you know, maybe the fatter pipe is really true, the fatter gas pipe. moving down a 12-inch pipe is a little different than that 3/4 thing running through your house.
Well, what's the I'm going to have to read that article, because what's the difference between that and like a water pipe?
One is gas.
Well, I mean, well, gas conducts electricity. I don't know if I'd want to charge it to send the data down it. That's, you know, other than that, it's a pipe.
I'm curious how the data is going to get from, like, molecule to molecule.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's an interesting read. We'll show it up there in the show notes with all the other stuff.
Well, you know, and, you know, I was talking about the electrical over internet, which sounds great, but, you know, anytime you think, I've had modems, and I've talked to millions of people that have had modems blow out because of the static electricity when there's a thunderstorm. So whenever I think of putting electricity to a network card, it just seems a little iffy to me. But
well, that would be an interesting thing. How are you going to stop the spikes and surges from, say, coming in your power line and maybe jumping the bridge to your, you know, event? You're going to have the analog of a cable modem, basically, only it will be a gas modem or whatever you want to call it. How are you going to keep? There's going to have to be some real good bridging and circuitry separation so that a lightning spike doesn't jump into the gas line and poof. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm still happy with my cable modem, like just like it is right now.
It works. It works.
Yep.
I mean, if somebody walked up and said, "Hey, you want, you know, 100 gig to your house? You know, put it on your gas line."
You want IP over gas, sir?
IPOG. Voice over propane.
Hey, boy, I sell propane and propane products and internet also.
Yeah, but you'd know for certain if you had, you know, some kind of bandwidth leak.
Yeah. Wait, turn the computer. Oh, well.
Let's move on.
Yes, please.
What have you got?
Well, actually, I'm still kind of like on a sci-fi kick. And, you know, if you don't want to go with sci-fi, that's fine with me. But, you know, we're geeks and, you know, a lot of us do have like sci-fi. But, and I know you're a Star Trek geek. How do you feel about Enterprise, you know, making the last beam up the show?
To be honest, it doesn't really affect me. I watched maybe the first 2, 3, 4 episodes of Enterprise, and I just couldn't get into it. And then they moved time slots up here anyway. Mm-hmm. And it got away from me, and I just never had a chance to get back into it. Now, I suppose if it comes out on DVD, it'll go back. And I admire the people for trying to save it. That was a noble effort.
It was. Actually, they've raised $3 million.
And they're giving it all back.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I didn't donate, but it was cool. But, you know, I tell you, with the Enterprise, I liked the first two seasons. And the third one, they had this long story arc. And it's like every week they were dealing with the same, you know, trying to get the same thing. And it just like, you know, they're supposed to be explorers. You know, this is like the first of it. So the first two seasons I liked. The third one really lost me. And this last one started off really good. And then, you know, got the notice that they were canceled. So, it stinks. So, but this, hey, I don't know how many people have actually watched it or have it DVR'd, so I won't ruin it for you. But this last one was pretty cool, and especially if you like Generations at all, the show, it was good. So it kind of brought back some memories.
Shark Chat is the only show that you know you can go to Fillmore Head and the kind of stuff like Cooper Deeps.
Somebody actually complimented on that one. That's the only use I've ever found for that thing, that voice on the Mac.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I saw a nuclear battery. There's a new type of battery based on a radioactive decay of nuclear material. Yeah. It's supposed to be 10 times more powerful than similar prototypes, and it should last a decade or more without a charge. Scientists announced this week. What speaking do you think of that?
Speaking of questionable energy sources. No, actually, that's interesting. I think I did skim over that. It's like it would last 12 years.
Visions of Homer Simpson run through my head.
Yeah. You don't eat the battery, Homer.
Oh. No, yeah, that would be a problem if you had a child swallow a battery.
Yeah. I'm sure. I don't know. Yeah, it said it would last 12 years. That's pretty impressive.
That is. But, you know, that would answer a lot of problems with a lot of devices.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, I only get 12 hours out of my iPod. I only get 12 years out of my iPod.
12 years
from now, I'll be going, what's an iPod?
Yeah. I'm sure the battery recharging people are loving that news as well.
I've also found an article that I'm going to put on the show notes for those who aren't completely techie. There's an article called Skype Made Easy, which I thought would be a nice little reference to throw in there. It walks you through all the features. I looked through it just to see if I was missing something, going, yeah, how much did I pick up on my own and how much is in here? It's really complete. I mean, it walks you through conferencing, setting up a call, adding buddies, doing an IM, sending files. I mean, it's all in there. It's a good reference.
Cool. I think I did see that before. It's like about 5 or 6 pages long.
Yeah, it's got the basics, and then it links off to other stuff.
Hmm. Well, that's cool. Just don't let Todd know.
Todd.
Cochran.
What, is he anti-Skype?
No. Talking about how to set up your podcast.
Oh.
After you buy his book, visit that link. Hmm.
I don't think this setup that I've got is anywhere near that book.
No. I don't know, you were describing it to me earlier, and I think I made as much sense out of that as I did the guy programming C on a dot matrix printer to cut his Atari. Is that right? No.
I'm going to have to draw a picture and post it. This is too good. I mean, conceptually, it looks different than it does in practice. There are cords draped across the keyboard.
Camera, right?
Yeah.
Fire it up.
I can't get all this in one frame. It's literally about 8 feet from end to end.
Make a panorama.
Are you a gamer?
A little. I have a few games. Actually, I'm more of a MAME, you know, like old school games more than anything. I do have an Xbox, though.
Have you been keeping an eye on the Xbox 360 news?
Yes, I have a little bit. I'm kind of intrigued by it. Some of the features, I think they're trying to make it more of a home media hub. And just a game center is interesting to me.
It they've had various leaks, and apparently the news I saw today, or maybe it came out yesterday, because I've only been reading stuff about once every other day, is that the CPU is actually water-cooled.
Yeah, I heard that too. That it was water-cooled, which I thought, when I read that, I thought that was interesting, because, you know, a lot of people jump through hoops to make water-cooled machines, you know, and to actually make it water-cooled, I thought was interesting too.
The counter to that is that, this is for the rumor mill now, or from mm-hmm. the rumor mill, that Apple and Sony are apparently in cahoots on the PS3.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That I have not heard, so that's new to me.
The rumor that I heard is that the PS3 is going to be iTunes Music Store, iTunes, iPod. It's going to be very Mac-like in that respect, that you'll be able to hook up your iPod and download iTunes from your Airport Express, that kind of thing. So it's going to be very entertainment center-like in that respect. That's purely from the rumor mill, so take it for what it's worth.
Well, you know, that does make a lot of sense because, you know, for a long time, speaking of the rumor mill, a lot of people have been talking about Apple making a media center because they got the iLife with the iTunes and iPhoto and all that stuff. So, you know, and of course you can share your music across PCs with iTunes and the iPhoto too. But that's been going around for a long time. So it doesn't completely surprise me, but at the same time, I hadn't heard that.
Also, not to be too Apple, we'll beat the Apple horse this week.
Sure.
Yeah.
Damn boy.
I don't know. These articles just seem to catch my eye more than some of the other ones. But Apple said they may be diverging from the open source. I mentioned a couple weeks ago that Safari's based on KHTML. What the heck? Conqueror.
You're right. Yeah.
And apparently to address some compatibility issues, they're going to fork off. Now, I thought when they brought on Safari, they said, we're going to use this open source engine. Any changes we make are going to be recycled back into the open source community. So what's the need for the diversion?
I don't know. I guess I think they were having some difficulty working with the KHTML guys. But you're right. I mean, I don't see the big deal with them just doing their own thing anyway, but I think this was a big red flag for a lot of people because, about corporations actually working with open source products and then they want to take their football and go home. I think that was where a lot of people were worried about, I guess, some of the changes that they've made, and will KHTML continue to evolve like it has been or what? So I don't know. It'd be interesting to see how that works out, but
I have to question, what standards are they having a problem meeting? Are they trying to be IE compliant, God forbid, or
I have a feeling that what happened, and this is just my gut reaction, I think that Apple probably started they needed to ramp up on how to do HTML rendering. And once they got up to that speed that they wanted, they're gonna make their own.
Because they should, in my opinion, they should have based it on Firefox.
Well,
be a lot further ahead.
Well, actually, I think Safari came out right before Firefox, or Firefox was still in infancy. But yeah, you're right. Or Mozilla, Mozilla was huge. That was the other problem. They said, well, Mozilla was so big at the time, and it had a lot of code mangling, spaghetti code, that it would take them a while just to even start get somebody internally up to speed on the internals, which I don't know about. I'm not sure if I buy that, but that's kind of why they went with KHTML, because of its efficiency. But I don't know. Anybody would need to get away from IE on the Mac.
Yeah, definitely.
Tune in to Chuck Tomasi at chuckchat.com.
Pew. Found a website called AtGig, ATGIG.com. It says, we offer 1 gigabyte of web space absolutely free. Each account comes with the following. 1024 megabytes, 1 gigabyte of web space, PHP plus CGI plus SSI scripting, coming soon, 100 gigs of bandwidth, this is a month, optional no pop-up ads, now, optional no pop-up ads, I like that.
Yeah, I'll take that, sir.
Your site stays clean, free support from professionals, MySQL, free upgrade options, and no file size limits. Now, I jumped on this one. I couldn't resist. I went to their website. They didn't have a contact us link. They said, you'll be able to email us soon, but for now, go to support, go to the forums. They set up a PHP BB forum. Mm-hmm. And I open up a new topic called logging and statistics. I said, what kind of logging and statistics are you going to have?
Ah, good
because
one.
That's key to some of the techpodcast.com people out there, because every month we're trying to gather as accurate as possible our statistics. How many people downloaded? How many unique IP addresses? The best way to do that is to grab a raw Apache log file and parse it. Next option is give me as much of that you can if you run it through your own dang parser. So I'm waiting for a response on that, but this one sounds really interesting. I'm wondering where their revenue stream is, unless it's from some of these options.
Well, when you sign up, or did you sign up?
I did not sign up yet. I'm not going to sign up until I get that answered.
Because I was curious as to what do they do if they do anything with your personal data to have pay for that. Because they got to pay for something.
Exactly.
Especially if the pop-up ads or ads in general are optional.
That's a lot of storage, though. A gig of web space, 100 gigs of bandwidth. 100 gigs. I mean, in April I did 30. And I don't even know. I haven't checked yet this month. But I suspect it's growing with the second feed and all. But that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, well, free is always good.
It's Sunday night. That means we're doing a techpodcast.com featured site of the week. This week we're going to be doing the Girl on Tech from Jennifer Snoddy. She is the Girl on Tech. Find her at girlontech.com. She is one of the rare female geeks out there. She's been doing technology and computers and stuff since she was a wee lass. Actually, she started on a TI, I think she said? I was listening to her just the other day. Actually, she was on Inside Mac Radio yesterday. I listened to that podcast this morning. She was on the Richard Volbs radio show Friday night. She's getting around more than I am.
No kidding.
So
that's pretty good.
Really good podcast. You got to listen to that. She's got two feeds. One is her technical stuff. The other is called The Journey, and that's her personal weblog about, well, you go listen to it. She's on a gastrointestinal surgery thing to help lose weight. Pretty radical stuff. But the technology stuff, she's covering everything. I mean, PSP, Wi-Fi stuff. She's no dummy.
Now, she's actually interviewed her doctors, hasn't she?
Yeah.
I'd be interested to hear that. What's her website?
GirlOnTech.com.
Cool.
Well, we're running out of the end of the show. Craig, do we have anything to finish up with? Do we have any articles you missed?
Let's take a look here.
Come on, give me a hot one.
Tom's Hardware has a how-to on cracking WEP.
Oh.
I think everybody should know that. Actually,
I view WEP as like locking your door on a car. If somebody's just going around war driving and they see an open hotspot, they'll take it. But if they drive by and you've got it closed and you got WEP turned on and possibly Ethernet, well, you've rolled up the windows, you've locked the doors, and you've parked in a safe spot, in my opinion. You've done all you can. If someone who's really determined is going to get on board. But you know what? They'll probably drive three houses down and find an open hotspot anyway.
Yeah. So, well, you know, I keep mine's completely open, because to be honest with you, if I'm doing something that's sensitive, it's going to be encrypted anyway.
That's true, like a VPN or you know, SSL to a website or something.
Yeah, I use SSH a lot. I'll use secure FTP, you know, and of course the banking does SSL, so, you know, I'm not too worried about it. And to be honest with you, I've seen my neighbors, and I'm not worried about them using my bandwidth.
Because chances are you may need theirs.
Well, this is true. Actually, you know what's funny? That my laptop came up and I was trying to connect to one of my internal machines, and I was like, why can't I resolve my IP? I was looking and looking. I was on somebody else's wireless network.
Where are my servers?
I came upstairs, checked my machine. It's on. I'm like, what crap? It was I was on somebody else's network. So,
all right, closing comments.
Have a good one.
None at
all. Oh, binary high five. What's your one?
All right, that's going to do it for us. Take care, everybody. Have a great week. Great whatever it is you have.
Enjoy your internet.
We'll talk to you on the next episode. Should be Wednesday night. This is Chuck and Craig signing out from Chuck Chat Technorama. Everybody, give me a big binary high five. That's your cue.
1-0.
Take care and good night.
Good night.